At least Mom got him to let me babysit the instruments. Slightly more than an hour later, Theo sat in the command chair, his brows knitted in puzzlement at the fuzzy image displayed on the ship's main communications screen. Syracuse was still more than an hour away from orbital insertion at Ceres, but something strange was happening. Theo stared at the crackling, flickering image of a darkly bearded man who seemed to be making threats to the communications technician aboard the habitat Chrysalis in orbit around Ceres where the Rockrats made their home. The image on the display screen was grainy, the voices broken up by interference. The stranger was aiming his message at Chrysalis. Theo had picked up the fringe of his comm signal as the ore ship coasted toward the asteroid. "Please identify yourself," said a calm, flat woman's voice. The comtech at Chrysalis, Theo figured. "We're not getting any telemetry data from you." The dark-bearded man replied, "We don't need it. We're looking for Lars Fuchs. Surrender him to us, and we'll leave you in peace." Lars Fuchs, Theo thought. The pirate. The guy who attacks ships out here in the belt. "Fuchs?" The woman's voice sounded genuinely puzzled. "He's not here. He's an exile. We wouldn't..." "No lies," the man snapped. "We know Fuchs is heading for your habitat. We want him." Theo realized that something ugly was shaping up. Much as he hated to relinquish command of Syracuse, even though his command was nothing more than monitoring the ship's automated systems, he reluctantly tapped the intercom keyboard. "Dad, you'd better get up here," he said slowly and clearly. "Something really weird is going on." It took a moment, then Victor Zacharias replied testily, "What now? Can't you handle anything for yourself?" There was no video, voice only. "You gotta see this, Dad." "See what?" He sounded really annoyed. "I think we're sailing right into the middle of the war. Ceres is neutral territory. Everybody knows that and respects it." "Maybe," Theo said, "but maybe not." Grumbling, Victor said, "All right, I'm on my way." Only then did Theo notice that the blank display screen's indicator showed his father was in the master bedroom. He felt his cheeks redden. He and Mom... No wonder he's cheesed off. Orship Syracuse, control pod. Theo sat in the command chair, watching and listening to the chatter between Chrysalis and the strangely menacing stranger. His father stepped into the control pod, dark face scowling. Theo swiveled the command chair and got to his feet, crouching slightly in the confined headspace of the pod. Gangling, awkward Theo had his father's deep brown eyes, but the sandy hair and tall, slender build of his mother. There was the merest trace of a light stubble on his long, narrow jaw. His denims were decorated with decals and colorful patches. "What's got you spooked?" Victor asked in a heavy grumbling voice as he lowered himself gingerly into the command chair. He had injured his thigh months earlier while loading Syracuse's cargo of ores from one of the rock rat miners deeper in the asteroid belt. The leg still twinged. Victor had scheduled stem cell therapy when they arrived at the Chrysalis habitat. Gesturing to the main display screen that covered half the curving bulkhead in front of them, Theo replied, "Take a look." But the menacing stranger had apparently cut his communications with Chrysalis. To Theo's dismay, the main screen showed nothing more than a standard view of the approaching asteroid and its environs. At this distance, Ceres was a discernible gray spheroid against the star-spattered blackness of space. Circling in orbit about the asteroid, the habitat Chrysalis glittered light reflected from the distant sun. A tinker toy assemblage of old spacecraft linked together into a ring to make a livable home for the Rockrats. They had built the makeshift habitat to escape the dust-choked tunnels that honeycombed Ceres itself. Radar displays superimposed on the screen showed the images of nearly a dozen ships, mostly ore carriers like Syracuse or massive factory smelters, in orbit around the asteroid. Their names and registrations were printed out on the screen. Two other ships were visible as well. One was labeled Elsinore, a passenger-carrying fusion torch ship from the lunar nation of Selene. The other had no name tag. No information about it at all was displayed on the screen. From the radar image, it looked like a sleek, deadly dagger. Victor Zacharias scratched absently at his stubbled chin as he muttered, "By God, that looks like a military vessel, an attack ship." "She's not emitting any telemetry or tracking beacons," Theo pointed out. "I can see that, son." "They were talking to Chrysalis before you came in," Theo explained. "Sounded threatening." Victor's blunt-fingered hands played over the comm console. The main screen flickered, then the image of the bearded man came up.
"Attention, Chrysalis," he said in a heavy, guttural voice. "This is the attack vessel, Samarkand. You are harboring the fugitive, Lars Fuchs. You will turn him over to me in 10 minutes or suffer the consequences of defiance."
Theo said to his father, "Lars Fuchs, the pirate?"
"The rock rats exiled him years ago," Victor muttered, nodding.
The voice of Chrysalis's communication center said annoyedly, "Fuchs, God knows where he is."
"I know where he is," Samarkand replied coldly. "And if you don't surrender him to me, I will destroy you."
His image winked out, replaced by the telescope view of Ceres and the spacecraft hovering near the asteroid. Victor began to peck intently on the propulsion keyboard set into the curving panel before him, muttering, "We've got to get ourselves the hell out of here."
"Huh? Why?"
"Before the shooting starts."
"Chrysalis is unarmed," Theo said. "They don't have any weapons. Everybody knows that."
"We don't have any weapons either," said his father.
"But they wouldn't shoot at an unarmed ship. That doesn't make sense."
"You hope." Victor's fingers were flicking across the controls. Turning a massively laden ore ship is neither a simple nor a quick maneuver. It takes time and lots of space. Theo glanced at the control screens and saw that Syracuse was slowly, painfully slowly, coming about. Something flashed on the main screen.
"He's fired on her!" Victor shouted.
Theo saw a red-hot slash cut through the thin metal hull of one of Chrysalis's modules. A glittering cloud puffed out and immediately dissipated. Air, Theo realized. The module seemed to explode, shards of metal spinning out dizzily. And other shapes came tumbling, flailing into the airless emptiness of space. Bodies, Theo saw, his heart suddenly thundering, his guts clenching.
Those are people. He's killing them.
Stop! Screamed the voice from the habitat's comm center. Stop, or you'll kill... The voice cut off. Theo watched with bulging eyes as invisible laser beams from the attack ship methodically sliced one module of the habitat after another, slashing, destroying, killing. A cloud of spinning debris and twisted bodies spread outward like ripples of death.
"You've got to do something," Theo shouted.
"I am," his father replied. "I'm getting us the hell away from here."
"Something to help them. What can we do? You want to join them?"
As Syracuse slowly, ponderously turned away from its approach to Ceres, its telescopic cameras maintained their focus on the slaughter of the Chrysalis habitat. Module after module exploded soundlessly, corpses and wreckage flung into space. Tears in his eyes, Theo leaned over his father's broad shoulder and shouted into his face,
"You can't just leave them there!"
His eyes fastened on the carnage displayed on the main screen, Victor told his son,
"The hell I can't! I've got to protect you and your sister and mother."
"You're running away!"
Victor nodded bleakly. "Just as fast as I can get this ore bucket to fly."
Theo glanced up at the main screen once more, then down again to his father's grimly determined face. He saw beads of perspiration on Victor's brow. His knuckles were white as he gripped the chair's armrests.
"But there must be something we can do."
The bearded man's image appeared again on the main screen, sharp and steady.
"Ore ship Syracuse," he said. "Just where do you think you're going?"
Theo's blood froze in his veins.
Battle frenzy.
"Are you harboring the fugitive Lars Fuchs?" asked the stranger, his voice dagger cold.
Victor replied evenly,
"We're inbound from the deeper belt, carrying 14,000 tons of ore." Then he added, "No passengers." "How do I know that's the truth?" "You're welcome to come aboard and see for yourself."
The dark stranger lapsed into silence.